Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Oracle's Read. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you this evening on a Sunday evening. Welcome to my old friends. I say, what's up? And to my new friends, I say, Habari Gani. Now, isn't it strange that every other ministry and church, their sermon for the topic is A Black Male's Life is Worth Something? Now, what made them come up with that at this particular time when over the past century we've had homicide after homicide and black males leaving this earth constantly without a minister hurling out the topic that a black man's life is worth something? Now, because this is becoming very popular to address the issue, to put a lot of tension on the marching, to make it look like we're doing something to make some changes, and everybody's itinerary is on the discussion of black-on-black crime. I think this is a ploy to draw attention to black-on-black crime and not necessarily the abuse that's going on by our finest men in blue in the community. Well, I'm really surprised that the ministers, evangelists, the apostles, and the deacons haven't raised hell a long time ago about the black man's transitioning outside of our community, leaving school, from school, transitioning. As you know, they usually have a transition plan at the age of 14. But these young guys are transitioning not into workforce, not into a job, but into prison. And no one and no minister has raised hell or Cain about where are these young boys going when they transition out of school and when they're booted out of school and when they refuse to allow them to come back in school when they drop out and their parents try to re-enroll them. They are told that they are emancipated by the age of 16 and they can drop out if they want to. But then our finest in blue and the Child Development Department will tell you that that child is still underage and the parents are still responsible for them. And right they are. Therefore, that the parents should be able to have some say-so as to whether or not they go to school. Now, here's the real issue we need to be looking at. Are the schools fit to even train our black boys? Are they fit? Now, Dr. Amos Wilson talked about, he asked the question, what is the purpose of education? Why do we need education? And I asked the question, can you give a white male self-esteem curriculum to a black male student and think that he's going to engage in it and respect it? No, you cannot. Now, all of our other cultures know that when education was created, it was not created for females, neither for the Caucasian woman. It was created for white males in power who owned slaves at the time. And our curriculum has not deviated or changed that much since we have gone down this new 21st century arena of high tech. No, it has not changed that much. So most black boys in school do not want to embrace that type of curriculum. They're not interested in it, and they are bored with it. It doesn't speak to the occasion of them. It doesn't address who they are. So therefore, they reject the religion, they reject the education. That's right, they reject it. And after me teaching many years, I saw that they were rejecting the curriculum. It had no real meaning for them. So therefore, they skipped class, and they decided every now and then not to even come back. And some of them got to the point where they took their own selves out, and they dropped out on their own account, on their own accord. Now you got mothers who want these young men to have their diploma or their GED, and they're pushing them back in school, while at the same time they're saying, Mom, don't make me go. That school is not for me. That school is affecting me, is hurting me. And reality is breaking down their self-esteem. I watched it happen. And I watched it happen to the point where administrators are fighting with the parent to have their children tested. Even when they come from middle-class families and middle-class communities, they're invoking these parents to have their child tested. For what? It's because they're trying to find a bad germ or what? And some of these parents have even been brought to task where they've had to go to court to fight against having the schools test their children for special ed. So what's the use of putting the child in the school system when you're going to put them in the lowest curriculum program you have, and that's special ed? Most black boys who really want to learn don't want to be in special ed because they're not challenged. So therein lies you have groups of young boys who are forced to go into the school, which is hurting them, which is damaging them, and then they are getting inflicted by the administration at the same time for truancy to the point where they drop out. Now, I don't know why these young boys are turning the gun on themselves. I don't know if it's this anger that they build up and animosity that they don't know who really to turn the gun on, so they look at themselves and turn the gun on themselves because they don't figure that the type of same type of trial would happen that if they turned the gun on the real enemy. So you got a situation of young boys who've been given guns because certainly these young boys cannot get these guns on their own. Somebody is bringing these guns into the country and getting them into the black community. That's the questions that preachers should be asking. Who's bringing the guns into our communities? So if there were no guns, could these young black boys be committing homicides against black on black? No, they wouldn't, because they wouldn't have the guns to do that. Maybe they would have a real fight and challenge each other to a duel and beat each other down, or use playing the dozen and call it a night. But somebody decided to bring guns into the community. So now they got real weapons, and they don't know how to use them. So who's bringing the guns? That's the question, preachers, you should be asking, not about how valuable their lives is. We know their lives is valuable. That's a given. But we got to ask the right questions to get the right answers. Now, if we press that, I'm sure we would get a lot of hush-hush, be quiet, don't discuss that, you know, bring your guns in, and that's the end of it. But in reality, we have young boys who have been given these guns to turn them on themselves. So they go into the schools. If schools are not created for them to address their issues, they get disenfranchised with the school, and they drop out. So they join a gang, and the gang becomes their family and their mother. Because the mother at that point has washed her hands with the child once he drops out of the school. Mother, why don't you try going up to the school a couple of times to see what they're faced up against? Why don't you try understanding what they're telling you about those teachers who are not fair to them, and how they just sit in the room and go to sleep, and as long as they're quiet, they could possibly get an A for just coming to class sitting quiet. Now, do you think that's real education? No, it's not. So we've been giving these young boys a bill of sales and giving them a raw deal, uneducating them. The average young black boy coming out of school can't read past fourth grade. And most young boys coming out of school cannot read at all. So who's miseducating who? Are we not attempting to try to teach these young boys to read? So we know that their fate will be sealed if they don't learn how to read, that they will meet up with crime or some violent activity. It stands to reason if they're not educated to the point that they can fluently read and comprehend, they're going to have a history of violent behavior because of misunderstanding and confusion. Now, let's go back to the real issue of the problem. If you want to preach a sermon, ministers, preach a sermon about who is coming into our communities, and where are our communities, first of all, and why can't we create a family resource center or a parenting center where we can all go up and meet on a regular basis, and we can put things into these young boys' hands that they need, sort of like a rites of passage to bring them into manhood so that they know that having a smoke or a drink is not a rites of passage, or having sex out of wedlock is not a rites of passage, or trying to see how many babies they can produce is not a rites of passage. Preachers, you got to do your job. When you going to create those community centers and create some programs in the community so you can get these young boys' attention and maybe even offer a school for boys at your church that will address their needs? These are young warriors, and by the age of 12, they're fully grown, emancipated. And most African children are fully grown at the age of 12. If you don't believe it, check some of the statistics and research of some of the doctors who are Caucasian who have researched this finding to find that children that are African-American children are emancipated and fully developed by the time they're 12 years old over in Africa. And they're not delayed. So I want us to really ask the right question. I feel so sorry for the mothers today and what they have to put up with, because so many of their young boys are being pushed out of the institution, pushed out of the schools, and they're rejected from going to college. And if they do go to college, heaven forbid if they should join a Greek fraternity, because that's going to be shut down too. So they have no extracurricular activities but to get involved with crime. Yes, involved with crime, even on college campuses. That is being perpetuated. Now, I want to say something to the ministers. Now, we tend to hide our head, duck and dodge, because we're getting a little grant or other. or some funding. So we can only say so much about certain topics that pertain to the black community, or else they'll cut off our little extra money will be cut off or discontinued. Well, you know what? When the Republicans come into office, a whole lot of money is going to be cut off, because the free rides for everyone is going to be put in check. So we have to get our house in order. That's right. Mothers, we have to provide schools for our own African-American males. And mothers, if you don't rise up, nobody will rise up. Start creating the home schools. Start creating Montessori in the home. And take your elementary children who are preschool and start them off early with Montessori in the home. And then matriculate that child up to elementary. At least get that child through elementary school so you know he has a foundation for reading. And then if you have to integrate him into the public school, by then he already has a foundation. He can read, he can advance, and he can challenge the system, and he can heed the system. But don't put them in these schools when they're coming in at 6 years old and they're already behind. And when you bring them in, they're delayed in their phonics and phonemic awareness, and they have a shortage of word vocabulary, and then you don't practice with them or do anything with them at home. So now it starts off, they're delayed and behind by the time they get to kindergarten. So what do you think why they can't read? Because mom doesn't go over high-frequency words with their children when they come home. Or Johnny gets to go outside and play sports before he does academic. Now, you're raising Susie, but you're just loving Johnny to death. Mothers, we got to stop loving our sons and raising our daughters. Now, Dr. Juwan Kanjufu came up with and coined that particular phrase, and he's so right. There's a whole lot more we can do in these societies besides marching. I'm so sick and tired of us standing up marching as a protest. We should have come up with other strategies by now. Why not have a forum and set up a forum every night on different topics in different locations and put them on the airwaves, sort of like what I'm doing, and talk about the real issues and have input from international people so that you can expose what's going on here and let other people see that it's not business as usual. And do press release so you can inform people of the platforms that you're having. Don't just go marching down the avenue, wasting a bunch of energy, getting to the White House thinking it's going to make a difference. Yes, you get some press in the news. They love to print that press in the news because they're waiting for one of you to get out of line so they can beat you down. Now, what's the purpose of marching? So you can go out there and agitate the police department so they will have a reason for beating you? Or are you marching because something's going to change the next day? I haven't seen anything change the next day. I was never with Dr. Martin Luther King when he talked about marching. I never saw the point in it. I never saw the point in the marching, because I never saw anybody step up there with a list of demands and demand anything. If you're not going to demand anything, your marching is in vain. You can lay down on the ground until the cows come home. But where you really have some authority at is in your economic spending. Why not lift the dollar and hold on to your dollar this Christmas? Why not prevent your children from shopping? And why not put a freeze on your shopping? And why not buy products from Kwanzaa and do a pre-Kwanzaa activity and buy your gifts under the auspices that these are the watis that you are making? Then you will really demonstrate something to the public that you've had enough. But as long as they see you running in those stores, buying up everything, that means you are collaborating and going along with what the status quo is putting on our African-American males. That means you are in compliance. Now, you need to be in noncompliance. This is one time you need to be in noncompliance. There's been many, many times when people have gone all the way to Mississippi, Selma, Mississippi, and they've marched, and they've got their heads bashed in, and people have gotten thrown in jail. and they could not get anything to change whatsoever. We should have learned our lesson by now. Churches got to open up their doors and become schools. That's all it is to it. Now, who's going to be the first one to step up that asked OMI to come in and help them set up a Montessori school? Where are you at? Stand up, because I'm waiting for you. Because there are so many schools closed down here in Gary, Indiana, it's pathetic. And we should have long opened up some family life centers and schools to compensate for the loss. Yes, I know it's a shrinking and attrition, and families have left. I know that. And they're leaving all over the urban setting. But we've got to stop our nonsense and being the great pretenders in these churches, because all we do is preach a message, but we don't do anything. I know that the Muslims used to go out when there was something wrong in their community, and they took a stand. Now, when are we going to take a stand like we did when Malcolm X laid down the line? We got to take a stand about our education and the miseducation of our young black boys, because once we tighten up the education, we can probably put a buzz in their ear. We can talk to them then. We can communicate with them. But as long as they disconnect from us and drop out of school, it is very hard to speak their language. And I'm saying this because there are more African-American boys in special education than any area of gifted and talented. Why is that? Is it because you're going to get an extra buck for them being in special ed just to miseducate them? Why is it that when they come out of school at age 22, they only have a certificate of completion, not a diploma? So where can they go with that certificate of completion? And you ask the question, why are they shooting each other up? You're dumbing down the education. You're dumbing down the curriculum and giving them a certificate that's worth nothing. And they come out, they're frustrated. They've been given a bill of goods that's worthless. And we are teachers, and we're sitting up and we're letting it happen. Well, I raised holy hell when I saw it happen. And I did not only march against it, but I stood against it and went down to the courthouse, and we preached against it until somebody heard us. And then we had an audience. You need to get an audience so you can have not only a marching session, but go into the court and have a jury and due process to talk about what is really going wrong in these schools for black boys. Maybe they need to be taken out of the public school. Maybe they've outgrown that particular curriculum. Maybe something else needs to be created for them. But we certainly can't have these preachers around here scripturing us to death about what the black boy is or isn't doing. It's what we as grown-ups aren't doing. We put the blame off on the wrong person. They probably are clapping their guns because they're so damn angry because we've given them a forfeited education, and they get out after 16 years and find that they can't do anything with the certificate, and they've been obedient, staying in school, not dropping out, going through the special ed arena, not getting educated, can't read. So what do you expect? They're angry. They're damn angry. And the preachers, you can't do it for them, standing up in the pulpit, preaching another mealy service and talking against them and against what's happening to them. You need to speak out on the inadequacy of what has been dealt to them. And mothers, I know you feel bad because you've lost all authorities to even come and put your children back in school. You've tried to put them back in school, and they told you you didn't have a right because the child was emancipated. Now, are we going to allow parents to be parents and raise their children, or are we going to tell the parents they don't have authority? Which one is it? And mothers, you can't give your children over to the system. I don't care what. Stay with that child all the way till he gets out of college. Drive him to school. Be with him. Some folks didn't know if I was the mother or the sister because I was there. And I know what it takes because an educator sees all that's going on in the system, and we know it firsthand. The system isn't right for our black boys. It has never been right for our black boys. Every time my children were in school, I had to fight for them. I had to go down to the schoolhouse, and I had to put up a fight to prevent them from over-testing and excessive testing. They're looking to see if they can find the bad germ, and if they can't, they put them in special ed anyway. And then they miseducate them and give them candy and push them through even though they can't read. And mothers, you should be darn mad when your kids come home in fourth grade and can't read. You should read with them so you know better. You would know that that child can't read. There's no child that was going to live here in my house that couldn't read if I had to educate them myself. And I did took my child out of school, both of them, and taught them at home. When you find your child can't read, everything ceases. Bring the child home. Now you got to sit home and bring a tutor and make sure he learns to read. Don't keep pushing them back in that school. If they failed them that long, what do you think they're going to do by the time they graduate? They'll just be a more dreadful failure. You can take that child out, and you can get tutors, and you can educate them at home. But we have really given our black boys a bad bill of goods, and it's unfortunate because it's not the girls that are in special ed. No, no, you won't find an African-American girl in special ed. It's very rarely that you find more African-American girls than males. Most of them are black males, and they're headed right to the penal institution. Now, if we really want to make a change here, stop the damn marching, okay? Cease the marching. Turn it around. Start the platform. Show your young men how to conduct a meeting. Show them how to do parliamentary procedures. Show them how to do debates. Show them how to find issues that they want to discuss. Teach them how to run a corporation. Teach them how to be an institution. School is not working for them, then they should create their own. Most young children who are intelligent could do a better job than some of us parents in setting up their own institution. I was so doggone fed up with what I was seeing in the school system that even at age 55, I could have continued on, but I got so fed up with what I saw that I had ventured out to start something better for the young kids. And do you know towns will tear up when black folks are trying to do something for their own kind? They will undermine them, and it starts with the churches. They're the very ones that want to undermine everything. Now, I'm on these churches because they should be institutions, and they set themselves up as business, but they won't help a student establish himself in reading. They won't help a student get back in school, but they'll come and preach a message about black boys matter. What do they matter after they fail? It's too late after they fail. What matters is that you catch them when they're young and they're impressionable, and you can teach them reading at a young age. You don't wait till they get to be a senior and then say black boys matter. Black boys matter when they first enter preschool. They matter because they need mentors and because they need real schools that's going to teach them fundamental skills of reading. And most of the schools do not know how to teach reading. That is one of the very reasons I went back to pick up a second endorsement to make sure I knew the fundamentals of teaching reading. And now that's what I do as an expert. And I don't feel that any young black boy should leave the school not knowing how to read. Someone should remediate him. And if they don't, they're setting him up for failure. Now, there's your real solution as to why they're joining gangs, because they're miseducated. They're not informed. They don't read. They can't read. And it's sad. It's a sad situation. And now we got them marching. This is how you do it, son. You go down the streets and you march. Some of these people are going to get these young people killed. Because on any bad day, if the military regime goes out there and the men in blue go out there and they get a little fed up with people marching, they're going to take some heads and somebody's going to get injured. See, and then we'll start the whole Rodney King thing all over with. We should have learned from Rodney King that the beatings are going on because we are not performing the right platforms. It cannot stop just because you're marching. You are not boycotting their stores. You're burning your own buildings. Well, when you start boycotting their own stores, taking away your economic dollar power, and taking your dollar into your own community, and don't flash the dollar, take that money and use it for your pre-qualified Kwanzaa programs, and let your children see how you really stand up and defend them. Now, how long are we going to have these sermons from all these preachers going on talking about Black Boys Matter? Isn't there something else you can preach about? Can't you preach a message like Malcolm X preached? Can't you find a message like Dr. King preached? Why are our preachers so mealy-mouthed and afraid to say something and stand up and talk about what's really going on? When we say turn the guns in, we should say take the guns out of the community and keep them out. And then we should have preachers and deacons setting up defense to prevent them from coming into the community. Then we can stop black-on-black crime. Now, what are we going to do about others coming in our community killing our black men? What are we going to do about that? Have you had any meetings about that? Are you still marching? Well, they figure you can keep on marching, but you need to have platforms and you need to have subject matter and you need to have your young people in place where they spearhead and orchestrate the meetings. Then you're doing something. You're teaching them how to take the baton and take the lead so you can sit back and delegate and watch them run a diplomatic meeting. Then they will become informed about the real issues. And then they can strategically talk about what their demands are. Just because you march, you have not given a set of demands. You have not talked about what your demands are and what you need to change in your community. What you need to really understand is that you can govern yourself. And black men can deputize themselves and govern their community. And when they're given the proper training, they will do a better job of governing their own communities. Then you won't have the head beatings and the badgering and the shooting. You won't have that because the young people that take this job will take it seriously because it means cleaning up their community. It means saving a life. When other people come into your community who don't look like you and who don't have an attachment to you, and who don't realize you're human like them, they see you as an enemy. So it's they're protecting their life just in case you might want to go for your gun. So it's inevitable that we cannot have outside people coming in to govern our communities. We must be civilized human beings when we learn to self-govern ourselves. And out of all this shooting should come the ability for us to self-govern ourselves. We're better people than this. We've always been a better people. Now we've become so frustrated and so upset about our livelihood and the situation in our finances that young boys have turned the guns on themselves. Well, brothers, I want you to stop turning the guns on yourself. I want you to look in your mirror and see that you're black and you're beautiful. And I want you to understand that you can have black power, but you have to orchestrate it. And you have to lay down the ground rules, and you have to stand up and be able to function like a man and run meetings and delegate, not just marching. It doesn't take a lot of energy to learn how to march. That is something that anyone can do, but it's not going to make a bigger difference. You are just taking up the space, and when you get out of order, that's a reason for someone to knock you upside your head. So why keep agitating the system? Why not really, really be intelligent and teach these young boys that they can begin to teach each other to read? So it will help them use their skills to learn how to take their intelligence and map out and strategically plan a meeting and have goals and objectives so they can see what has changed and do statistics and stats to see what has really changed and what communities need more changing. So take this opportunity to use it to train your young men and women in the churches to strategically handle parliamentary procedure. So why take another young group of people and take them down the road that Dr. Martin Luther King took us down? And it took us so long to accomplish anything. And all he wanted to do was be able to hold hands, little black boys and white boys holding hands. That's all he ever had as an objective. He needed to have more than just a dream. He needed to have objective of us being able to have our own communities and developing our own institutions and running them. Now, if a black man, we have no leadership now. So everyone can step out front and talk about what needs to happen. We don't really need leaders. We need to all be like G's and step up and have goals and objectives. Because we've all been given the essence of God, and we all have a measure of faith, and we all have God's essence in us, so we are all gods. And all men and women can learn if they're properly taught. These black boys that come to school, they're told right off the beginning, I'm not going to teach you. You're too slow. You can't pick up. You're not comprehending. So they give up. And these teachers ought to be ashamed of themselves. They do a little something every now and then. If they don't see the black boy catching on, they drop the training. So they need to be reprimanded for not preparing these children to go on to the next grade. And they push them on to the next grade knowing they haven't taught them anything. When you cannot comprehend and they cannot comprehend, you need to remediate. You need to use some strategies, different strategies that you can teach that child through the many different facets that they learn. It is a shame that we're sending these black boys out of the school ill-prepared with a piece of paper knowing that they can't read and a certificate that's worth nothing. Every principal needs to be called to task if they got children that are graduating in special ed that can't read, because that teacher only has maybe 6 to 10 children. There's no reason she can't teach those children to read. Because if you had 26 children like I had most of the time, and all my children could read coming out of kindergarten, every one of them, there was no way that one child was going to leave another child behind. You teach one of them to be on grade level, and you let that child go back and teach the others. So your job then becomes to be a facilitator. Some teachers need to understand if you don't teach nothing else well, you need to teach reading well. But you cannot send these children out ill-prepared that cannot read and then go into church houses and talk about reading the Bible. How are you reading the Bible when you haven't even taught Johnny to read in the classroom? So I'm just disturbed by some of the things that the preachers are saying on the air. And we go in there with these long sermons and they mean nothing. If we really are looking to our preachers to be leaders, then step up, preachers, and start talking about the real issue. Maybe you can make a difference in the community and say, hey, and tell the politicians, we don't want no more guns in our community. We're not having it, and we're going to deputize ourselves. I know a preacher, Clifford E. Turner. He put it on the airways. They deputized themselves in their own community, and they stepped up, and they prevented gangs from coming in. So the gangs don't always have to look like the young black boys. They could be mobs that are coming in sheep clothing. We don't have communities anymore, so it's hard to determine where is the borderline for our communities. But we're going to have to find out if we can develop parent information centers, family resource centers, and have those so that they're gauging points so we can have debates and discussion. And you can take these young boys and prepare them to be orators at a young age. How are they going to be prepared to take over and rule if we don't start soon to teach them? Quit the doggone marching, because that's for soldiers. And then none of them are going to take a bullet, and they're not armed. So what are they marching for? Give them a paper and pencil and a tape recorder and teach them how to record and speak elegantly so someone will hear them and they will be understood. Quit the marching. Quit the gig. The gig is up. It's been done for centuries. We haven't gotten anywhere with this doggone marching down to the White House and marching across the globe. What good does it do? And we're talking about all the wrong things. Put the issues on the table. Education. Why aren't they being properly taught? Why are they dropping out? Put it on the table. Make it an itinerary and let the black boys stand up and negotiate about what they want for their education. And then put some issues together of what is going wrong with their education and put some negotiating requests together so that you can ask for an opportunity to educate your black boys in your own community so you know that they're going to learn to read when they finish with the course. Storm is almost over, and we're coming out of the storm. But my question is, is it going to be an uphill journey? Is it going to be a long, long climb? And if we look at coming out of this storm and saying that things are going to change, usually things coming out of a storm where we have not cleared up anything about the murders of these young boys, you have to come up with a platform and a plan